today, we have some special guests in service with us I'd like to recognize. We've got some folks from Kairos all down here on the front row. We appreciate you ministering in the way that you have this weekend and sharing your talents. I think most of you were cooking, is what I understand, getting things ready for those guys out there at the prison. And I just want you to know I appreciate you and the ministry this weekend of Kairos and the service that they've been here all weekend. I've had people ask, what are all the cars at church all day? I go, well, that's Kairos doing ministry. And we sure appreciate y'all being here with us and joining us here in worship. Well, today we come to the end of a series of messages that we've been working through on living Jesus' way. And you'll notice we've got these signs all up here. And today, our last sign is this school crossing sign. And some of y'all know I have a weird sense of humor. I just want to tell you up front. I've always thought that was the purse snatcher sign. See what I mean? I look at things differently than others. See the guy coming up behind grabbing her purse and, yeah, okay, the purse snatcher sign. Y'all with me now? Okay. Well, that's not what that is. That is a school crossing sign where someone's helping someone else across the road. And the reason I wanted to use that sign today is because what Jesus has been doing through all of chapter 5, 6, and 7 in the Sermon on the Mount is really talking to us about how to live our lives. And he's there to walk with us all the way through it, isn't he? To carry us across whatever crossings we've got, whatever changes we need to go through, whatever transformation we need to have. He's not there to snatch our purse. He's there to help us be like he wants us to be. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning as we get the last few verses of chapter 7, where Jesus talks about the idea of building your house and letting Jesus be the one who builds your house, because there's really only two ways of how to live a life. So in these four verses, what we find is Jesus comes to the close of this Sermon on the Mount and looks at them and says, you got a choice. It's a pretty simple choice, at least in theory. It's a choice about whether you're going to let your life be built by God, by Christ, or some other way. And you're saying, so there's lots of ways. Really, all he's saying is there's only two ways, either with God or without God. That's really all there is. And so, real simple outline this morning, but there's some important things that we need to see here, because Jesus has been talking to this group of people gathered out there on a hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee for what we call three chapters. And he's talked about tons of issues, about who you're going to follow, what direction you're going to go, how you're going to live, what you're going to do, how you're going to be. And he comes down to this question that every one of us is faced with. And I suspect that we're faced with this question every day, if we were really honest, is how am I going to build my life? How are we going to live our lives under the lordship and leadership of Christ? Are we going to let him lead, or are we going to let our preferences and our desires and our thoughts lead? That's the question I want you to consider this morning, because how you answer that will determine how your house comes together, how it comes together. So in these last few verses, what we find Jesus do is he clearly lays out there's two and only two pathways for us to live. We can either build our lives on God or we can go it alone. So let's look at the passage and then kind of break it down and then see how we might be able to apply it to our lives. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says this, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine," Jesus says, "and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Father, I pray that as we look at this last little passage here, that is, Father, a very clear question of whether to build our house on you or on something else, that, Father, we would take a moment and do a serious evaluation of our lives and how we're building the life that you've entrusted to us, the years that you've given us here on planet Earth, and whether, God, we're using and building our life on you or somewhere else. Because in the end, that question answers how our lives develop. Father, help us to see clearly where we are. Help us to see what we maybe need to adjust. And Father, help us to see how maybe we need to start a life with you if we don't already have one. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one commentator said this about this whole passage, a guy named R.T. France, he was a scholar. He said this, "The teaching of the Sermon on the Mount is not to be admired, but to be obeyed." Jesus didn't spend three chapters giving all these instructions and signs and direction and live your life this way, do this, don't do that, be a part of this, don't be a part of that, go here, go, don't. He didn't do that just to say, well, that's a really good thought. He said, this is how we should live our lives. So the first side of this equation is this. You can build your house with God. So build your house with God. Look at verse 24 again. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." So Jesus comes to the end of this extended session of teaching, and he lays out a decision. He says, which one are you going to be? Are you going to build on the rock or the sand? And you're going, why in the world would anybody ever build their house on sand? Using a metaphor from the local construction of buildings in the Middle East, he says, there's two ways you can build. You can either build on rock or you can build on sand. In the Middle East, construction of the foundation for a house, or by the way, any building for that matter, would be done in one of two ways. You can either locate a place and you go, I think I want to build here, and not worry about the outside and out the world in which you live and what was under the ground or what could happen in the future or the things that could change. Or you could stop and go, wait a second, it's dry here today. That's the Middle East 11 months out of the year. There's no rain here today. There's no problem here today. But what happens when the rains come? Have any of y'all been here when it rains? What's this piece of property? What happens to this ground when it rains? It's a good question to ask. But apparently people wouldn't care. They would say, well, I want to live here overlooking this. And they would begin to build, and they would clear the ground, and they would lay it out, the foundation, and begin to build a piece of on that piece of ground to build a house or build a place, and they would build it. Others would say, wait a second, if we build on that, we're going to have problems. And so the imagery that Jesus uses here is to help those listening consider how to build a house. He says, I want you to think about it. What are you going to build your life on? What's the foundation on which you're going to build? Because in that part of the world, it could be very dry for a long time, and you could build a very solid house on sand until the day came that the rains fell. And the water rose, and the foundation would fail. A wise man builds his house on a solid foundation, a foundation where they've pushed away the sand, and they've gotten to bedrock so that they know they're on something solid, something hard to build upon that would not fail when the day came. Y'all know that I kind of like this little team that plays in the Superdome in New Orleans. And when I moved down to New Orleans to go to school, I learned that when they were building that massive structure, if you've ever had the chance to drive by that thing, you just kind of go, wow, that's huge. When they were building that Superdome, do you know that they began to drive pilings? You know, New Orleans is on just a soup of mud down there, basically. They said, we're going to drive some pilings down so we can have something firm to build it on. And they began to drive pilings down to the ground, and they got down to 100 feet, 200 feet, 300 feet. And they finally said, well, I guess that's good enough. They never hit solid rock. So that building will fall down one day. But that's the way we build our lives sometimes, isn't it? We say, I don't have a solid foundation. And what I want you to see is Jesus says, I want you to build your house with God. A man who builds your house on rock, not sand, as we'll get to in a minute. I want you to build it on something solid, because if you will, your life will last. So if you build your house with God, here's what you find. Safety, security. Look at verse 25. And the rains fell, as they always do, don't they? And the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall. Why? Because it had been built on the rock. So a person who builds their lives upon the solid foundation of God, what they find are great blessings are going to come out of that. There's going to be something good that comes out of this. And while I told you a minute ago, it doesn't rain much in that region. When it does rain, oh baby, look out. It'll come down in a flood. And what had been a dry riverbed will all of a sudden become a raging river just in moments. And what had been a very safe place to be 5 minutes before would become the most dangerous place to be in the moment. And what he's wanting them to understand is if you would build your house on something solid, and if you make the decision to build your house on something that's going to last, when the struggles come, when the storms come, when the rain falls, when things get hard, it will not fall. What Jesus is telling them is way bigger than merely the building of safety of building a house or a building. He's speaking to them about the amazing foundation of building their lives on Jesus. I mean, for three chapters, he's been talking about this issue. He's been talking to them about changing this, directing this, going this way. Don't do this. Be a part of this. Be a part of this. Don't do this. And he's saying, you're going to have to figure out where the foundation is going to be laid, or all of that's going to come crashing down one day. And you're going to miss it. Because without a right foundation, the life could not be assured of lasting. But with a good foundation, you find safety. You find security. You find the house standing at the end of the storm. So build your house on God. Find safety and security. Y'all are already ahead of me. You probably got the rest of the outline filled out in your bulletin. Real simple this morning. Build your house without God. Look at verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus said, and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And now you and I would look at that text and go, who in their right mind would ever build their house on sand, right? I mean, how foolish could a person be to buy a piece of property that there's no solid ground under it, to build a house upon, and yet they go ahead and build it anyway? You're looking at one. I bought one of those houses one time. The other option was to be homeless. I lived along the Gulf Coast, and do you know what homes are built on down there? Sand, okay? I mean, there's nothing down there. And we think the ground around here floats and shifts a little bit. Try the Gulf Coast. Try an area that has no solid ground at all. But I want you to see, he's not talking specifically about a house. He's talking about their lives. These people who looked at their property and says, well, it's what we've got. We're going to build on it. I'm not going to worry about what comes in the future. I'm not going to worry about the days to come ahead. I'm not going to worry about when the rain falls. I'm not going to worry about when the wind blows. I'm not going to worry about those things. I'm going to just go ahead and buy what I can and build what I can and do the best I can. I told you we bought a house with a foundation. Come to find out, it had cracked at one point in the past. And I got to thinking, I said, well, I don't want to buy that house. So I asked the realtor, I said, is there one that didn't crack around here? You know what he said? Yeah, right. He said, I think there's three in the whole town. I said, well, can I get one of those? And he said, no, they're not for sale. I said, so tell me about this, because this is all new to me, you know. He says, well, they go in there and they dig around in the bottom and they put down piers. And I said, what do they hit? They go, not really much. But they put piers in and then they bolt the pieces of the foundation back together and they give you a warranty. You know what a warranty is, don't you? Yeah, never mind. And the house was together. It stayed together as long as we lived there, so we were pretty happy with that. But the reality is you look at that and go, why would you do that? But I got to tell you, this is different than moving to a region that there are no choices. You and I, we got choices. We get to decide who we're going to build our life on. We get to decide where we're going to put our life together. We're going to get to decide who brings our lives to make it a real thing. But if you build your house without God, you're looking for consequences. You're looking for problems. You're looking for a foundation that's cracked. And the house on top of it will crack. Jesus wanted these people to whom he's speaking to understand it is foolish to build your life without God. And yet people do it. So if you build your house without God, here's what you find. You find destruction and desolation. You find a real mess. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Are we shocked that something built on a faulty foundation fails? All the time we are. We go, I don't know how that happened in my life. I don't know how this end result happened. I don't know why this happened to me. I don't understand why this could happen. How could it happen? Did you build your life on God or on something else? So the outcome of the life built on a foundation where there's no serious thought, there's going to come a day when it falls. The rain falls. Listen, the rains always fall eventually, don't they? The floods come eventually, right? The struggles in life eventually come. It's the way it is. The winds blow and they beat against the house. And what happens? It falls. Why are we shocked? What had become, had once been dry land becomes pools of water. What had once been a house that was merely, appeared to be merely days before in great shape, now could not survive. What Jesus wanted them to understand, that such an approach to this life is, in the end, going to be a mess. It's going to be desolation and destruction and problems to no end. And the great fall would come in the end. How is it possible that you and I can't see that? We build our lives and we say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be a part of this, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to do that. And we never ask God to build the foundation. And the end result is a mess. So, with all that laid out, and just a few minutes left for me this morning, what do we do to build a life on the foundation that God wants us to? Three things and observations I want you to see about this passage. The first one is this: building with God takes faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want you to understand that if you're building your life, if I'm building my life on anything other than a faith in holy God, we've missed it. We'll say, well, I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to take care of it. You cannot follow God without faith. You cannot experience God's presence without faith. You can't build a life that matters without faith. In speaking to the crowd, Jesus wanted them to understand that they had to come to a place where they said, okay, God, we trust you. We're going to follow you. We're going to listen to you. We're going to let you be the one who builds the foundation of our lives. And can I tell you something, friends? The same is true for us. There has to come a place where we say, God, I am going to trust you in everything. My suspicion is many of us, that doesn't describe us. See, he's speaking to a crowd where they're going to have to come to the place where they finally say, God, we trust you 100% with everything. There had to be a moment when they say, we're going to quit walking by sight and we're going to start walking by faith. And I want you to understand, unless you have come to that place in your life where you said, God, I'm going to trust you 100%. As best I know today, as much as I understand at this moment, you can't build a life with God. Because you don't know him. See, our natural tendency is to do this. I'm going to take care of it on my own. I'm going to figure the problem out. I'll figure this out. I'll do this. And many of us will say, okay, when I finally get to the place that I can't handle it anymore, then I'll turn to God. Why would we want to do that? To put ourselves through building a house on sand that when the storms of life come, falls down around us, and then we have to pick up the pieces. Some would say, well, nobody told me I should build my house on the rock. That's why I'm here this morning, to tell you, build your house on the rock of Jesus so that your life can build on top of it something that will last, that will make a difference, and you will not be able to do it unless you have faith. To come to a place where you say, God, I want to trust you with not only the foundation, but with the structure that goes on top of it. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You see, anytime we say, I'm going to walk by sight, I'm going to walk by what I can do, I'm going to walk in the way I can handle it, we're saying to God, we don't really want you involved. Even if you don't use those words, that's what you're saying. I can handle it. And you're going to build a house on sand. Second, building with God faces trials. Now, many of us would like to say that's just not true. If I trust God with all of my life and all of my possessions and all of my everything, then my life is going to be wonderful and great. In fact, if I put $100 in the plate, I'm going to get $1,000 back. And if I order the special handkerchief that's been sweat on by the preacher, I don't sell those, by the way, because it's just sweat, okay? But I got to tell you, there's a whole world of people who say, follow God and life will be good. Life will be perfect. There won't be any struggles. There won't be any issues. Life will be perfect. Can I tell you something? That's not true. Over and over again, what you see in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament alike, is people who finally, who hear the voice of God. They say, God, I'll listen to you. I'll follow you. I'll do what you tell me to do. And then you know the outcome of their poor lives? Some of them end up in prison. Some of them end up dead. Some of them end up in pits of water. Some of them end up decapitated. Some of them end up in prison again and again and again. Well, they must not have had faith in God. Well, then you've got to throw the whole book out. It's full of those people. I got to tell you, I'm glad they're in there, aren't you? Because it tells me that those people, God could use them with all of their messes and all their struggles and all their background and all their junk. Maybe, just maybe, he could use us too. I find encouragement when I read these poor guys and all their struggles. I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of trials. I don't go, oh, I'm going to go through a trial. It's going to be so exciting. Woo, God's going to work. Really? Anybody that does that, something's wrong, okay? I worry about those people. They're going, oh, I'm going through the hardest time of my life, and I'm so glad I'm here. Really? I'm not. But I'm convinced, listen, if we never face trials and never face difficulties, we may just want to ask ourselves, why not? The trials we're thinking about here are not those things where we go, well, I was just a boneheaded knucklehead and messed it up. But something came because I did the right thing. We're talking about trials coming because we've obeyed God. We've said yes to God. See, the former can be seen in a husband who treats his wife poorly and ends up with strife and discord at home. The latter can be seen in a husband who seeks to live a godly life at work but finds his moral actions rejected. They're different. Because when you decide and I decide to seek to live out a godly pathway in this life, and you're going to find this, you're going to find decisions and positions and moments where you may be the only one in the room holding that position. But it's the right one. And you may find yourself in the middle of a trial because you're letting God build your life instead of you trying to build it yourself. In fact, I'm convinced that if you follow God, you're going to find more issues, not less. I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Y'all know that story? Kids love that story. I love that story. There's these three guys. They get hauled off down to pagan land, which is today basically Iraq. And they're told that they can't worship their God anymore. You know the story, right? You remember what happened to these poor guys? They didn't have any trials at all in life. It was easy. You know that story? Yeah, I got it backwards, didn't I? They had lots of trouble. In fact, it was so bad that when they got put into the fire, do you know what happened to the guys that put them in the fire? They died, okay? It was not good. And yet they look into the fire. They must have got too close. But they looked in the fire, and they didn't see three. They saw what? Four. There's a promise there that when you go through the trials because of God, he's right there with you. Isn't that great? You go, well, I don't want to go through trials. Maybe you don't want to be where God is. Shadrach, Meshach had to be in the fire to be where God was. You with me? That's where we need to be. You go, well, I don't want to go through the trials. I do. I don't want to, but I'm willing to because that's where God is. Does that make sense? One more thought. And it really is centered on the idea of whether you build on rock or sand. There's an application I want you to see here about building your life on the foundation of Jesus. You can avoid destruction. Huh? Building with God ultimately avoids destruction, and especially eternal destruction. Remember in the text, we read where Jesus spoke about the rains and the wind and the trials coming to beat at the house. I find it interesting. You know, I look at things differently. I already told you that. You know, person at your sign over here. I find it interesting that the wind and the rain and the storms came to both people. Did you catch that? It didn't just come to those who followed God. It didn't just come to those who didn't follow God. It came to everybody. Everybody's going to face trials. Everybody at some point is going to face a struggle. Everybody at some point is going to face a hardship. Y'all with me? Okay. The difference is what happens on the outcome of the problem. Will the house fall down? Or will the house continue to stand? What's happening in your life? What I want you to see is you get to make the choice about how you're going to build your life. You get to decide. From our perspective, you get to decide whether you're going to follow God or not. You get to decide from our perspective whether you're going to listen to his voice or not. And you can either build your life on your own based on whatever you wanted to do to build your foundation upon, or you can build your life on God. The only way to avoid destruction, not only short-term but eternal destruction, is to have your life built on God. We have to come to a place, listen, where Jesus is our builder. He's the one putting our lives together. He's the one guiding us. He's the one leading us. He's the one speaking to us. He's the one telling us, do this, don't do this, be a part of this, don't be a part of that. Listen to my voice as I lead you. I'd love to tell you that I've always followed the voice of Jesus, but you would know that's not the truth. Why? Because you haven't always followed the voice of Jesus either. But we have to come to a place where we go, okay, God, I want you to build it. Because if I build it, it's going to be a mess. I want you to build the foundation. I want you then to begin to build the structure. I want to listen to your voice, and I want to do what you call me to do. And I want to live my life the way you call me to live, watching for the signs that he says, here I am. Do this. Be a part of this. Don't do this. Listen to his voice. Maybe you're here today and you need to make a decision of some type. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in salvation. I want you to know we don't just stand here at the front to look pretty. Our staff is not that pretty. We're here because we want to talk with you and pray with you and pray for you over whatever you're dealing with. I want you to know if you come to one of us up here, we're not going to say a thing to anybody about what you share with us. I haven't talked about this in a while, so I want you to hear this. We want to pray for you. Maybe you need to talk at length with somebody. We have some people who are trained to be lay counselors who would love to sit down with you and talk with you at length. We'll let you slip out and go do that. I want you to know this time that we're about to enter into is not just to sing a song, though you're welcome to sing. It's a time to say, God, I've been building my life on my own, and I want you to start building my life. I want you to build the foundation. I want you to build the structure. I want to follow you and listen to your voice. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for allowing us the amazing joy of being in your house this morning, singing songs, of worshiping, of giving, of praying, of looking at your word, and Father, hopefully being challenged to live a life that honors you. Father, my prayer is for those in this place who have not yet chosen to follow you, that, Father, they would respond to you. And they would say yes. Father, my prayer is also for those in this place who at one point said yes, but then decided to take the control of the reins of their life back over, to take away the construction permit from God and begin to do it themselves. Father, I pray that they would surrender that to you once again, new. I pray for those who have other types of decisions that they need to make this morning, some who need to make a public stand for you, to follow you in believer's baptism, some who need to just connect to a local church. God, we pray that your hand would be here in this moment and that we would respond and listen to your voice and let you build the life that you want us to have. In Jesus' name, amen.